Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 17th of October. This hour, we're going to make your brain strong and keep you from getting early dementia. Or if you're very young, you will be able to learn exercises that you can do that may make your brain long for your entire life. We've done a couple shows on the brain recently, and they're just fascinating. You'll recall the interview we did with Dr. Davidson from UW-Madison and the film that was featured at the film festival that looked at meditation and the effects of meditation on those suffering from ADHD and post-traumatic stress. We also did another show with the author of Free the Mind was the documentary. It was a book that looked at strengthening neurons in the brain and what it is we can do to make them stronger. And today we do yet another show on the very same topic. The other program was Boost the Brain. And today it is Maximum Brain Power, challenging the brain for health and wisdom. We'll look at other animals and how they have been trained. And we'll look actually at some exercises you can do and what it is you need to do to make sure that your brain is strong. I guess one of them actually is to learn a lot, to know a lot in a whole bunch of different areas, to stretch your mind and learn new things and challenge yourself to learn things that may be difficult for you. So that's what we're all about. That's what we do at Public Radio. So may I please begin this hour just by saying you need to pledge this hour as well. It's the last hour for you to pledge to this particular program. Our number is 888-202-2552. And for those of you who can pledge, we will be happy to send you a copy of Maximum Brain Power, so you'll be smart as can be for a number of years, and we'll tell you more about the amount you need to pledge as we carry on with this hour. So this is a great hour for you to get really smart. Our guest is the co-author of Maximum Brain Power, Challenging the Brain for Health and Wisdom. You already have active brains because you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, but after this hour, you will have an even stronger brain. What is it we can learn from animals like carrier pigeons? What is it that we can learn from two people who are the same age, who have been raised, same elementary school, perhaps same high school, have similar interests? One is college educated, one is not. What are the chances of the not college educated compared to the college educated in contracting dementia later in life? What's the difference between human thought and computer calculations? What role does exercise play? And this book has some very interesting items about what kinds of exercises are best for the brain and how you may need to vary them. So all of that is coming up this hour for you to join us online. It is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And again, the premium for this hour for $120 pledge is Maximize Brain Power, which is a terrific premium, I believe. The co-author, Collins Hemingway, is with us now. Hello, Collins.
Kathleen, hi. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much for being with us. Well, this seems to be all the rage these days, and I can't help but believe it's partially because those of us in the baby boom generation are getting older, and we want to make sure that our brains are strong.
You're right. We're both beginning to see some of the signs of senior moments ourselves, and many of us are also dealing with older parents, mm-hmm. and they're beginning, many of them, to have various cognitive declines, and so we're seeing it from both sides, if you will.
One of the main thoughts that comes through this book is learning any new task, and you even study pigeons to find out the tasks that they were capable of performing, which I found absolutely fascinating. But anything that requires us to really concentrate physically challenges the brain and keeps it healthy. We need to stretch ourselves, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. The brain easily falls into a sort of relaxed and non-challenging state, and gets very lazy very quickly, and sort of reverts to habit and routine, and it does that to conserve energy in one respect. But in doing so, the the neurons begin to, if you will, unwind, and the connections in the brain get lost, and all of a sudden we get dumber just because we're not challenging the brain and keeping the biological stuff happening at a low level active enough to keep the connection strong and to create new ones.
Tell me more about this idea. You mentioned that we fall back on habit and routine. You write, in a changing world, it's our ability to unlearn that runs contrary to wisdom, doesn't it? To unlearn that will determine our ability to survive, adapt, and move forward.
It sounds counterintuitive because all of us have been taught to rely on experience, and experience is how we actually understand the world. But the human being, and we assume it's because of our historical past, tends to learn fairly rapidly, fairly early, and then about the time we reach maturity, we cease to learn. It becomes much more difficult. Just like when you're a child, it's very easy to learn a language. It's harder for an adult. And we fall back into habits that we learn when we're, 15 or 17 or 19. And as a result, we're not challenging our brain. And as a result, we fall back on a rather modest experience base in some cases. But in other cases, we rely so much on experience that we don't look at what is actually new and different about a situation, and we might apply an old solution to a new problem that is sufficiently different that the old solution doesn't work.
Hmm. We're now, and all of this is fairly new for a lot of people, working in a world of computers, and we spend a good chunk of our days behind computers. Have computers moved us into an age where we don't have to use as much of our brain as we used to?
Like anything else, it depends on how you use them. GPS is a good example. That's a computer system that helps us navigate our way. And for most of us, we just plug it in and go and follow George, as we like to say, which is a lot less cognitively interesting and active than getting out an old paper map and figuring out the route ourselves and all that kind of stuff. So unless you're actually designing the software for GPS, it's probably not going to help you, and you're probably going to lose a little bit of cognitive ability. But if you're using computer tools to, do mathematical analysis, and it takes a lot of the grind out of it, and you can focus on the more creative things, or if you use them to write or to draw or to paint or to do video clips that you put online or whatever your interest may be, then you're using it in a way that challenges the brain. So it's like any other tool. It can be good or bad depending on how you use it.
When you talk in the book, Collins, about the case for heavy mental lifting and how if we challenge our brains in that regard, it will affect our health, it will affect our longevity and our intelligence, so it's fairly crucial. What do you mean by heavy mental lifting?
Anything that challenges the brain. It seems like it's a little counterintuitive, but when things are easy for us, and it seems comfortable and relaxed, we're not using the brain, and it's coasting. And as a result, it's not, again, building new neurons. It's like if you go out for a jog, and the first time you go for a jog, if you haven't done it in a long time or at all, it's really going to hurt. But, 6 months later, the same jog doesn't challenge you at all. And in the same way, literally, the amount of neurons your brain forms and the complexity, if you will, of that interior structure is based on how much work you're doing. And once you get to a certain point, the brain figures out the pattern and it stops working. So you have to constantly give it something new, complex, different, just to interest it.
Hmm. Like what? What do you do?
What do I do? Mm-hmm. Well, I write quite a bit, and my job, if you will, is to tackle different kinds of science and different kinds of technology and different kinds of business and make sense of them, and then write about that for consumers. I'm also a director of a nonprofit in Oregon that's trying to help develop civilian uses for those dreaded vehicles called drones, things like agriculture, firefighting, natural resources.
Mm.
And I just try and keep active in other ways. And believe me, even writing this book with Dr. Bresnitz, that was definitely a stretch for my brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you also write about the importance of physical exercise for the brain, and I think give a lot of valuable advice for people that it's just crucial that you keep the body moving. And I was interested to find out that you recommend different forms of exercise, that different forms of exercise will exercise different parts of the brain. I didn't know that.
Right. Well, think about it. If you run, you're doing one kind of thing. If you're playing tennis, you have a different physical situation and different physical responses, but you also now have a social component. Same way with golf or pickleball or a thousand other things. Swimming, all of these things require the brain to figure out and learn different things, whether it's the physical activity itself or the social component, which is often a part of exercise, especially for people who are a little bit older and look forward to that. You know, a hike, half the fun of the hike is usually chatting with your friends and having that social interaction. And social interaction is, in fact, one of the most significant uses of the brain and why people who are socially active tend to remain cognitively fit, because it challenges us in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm. Did you say pickleball? What's pickleball?
Pickleball, that's a new hot sport
amongst
those of us who are getting older and our knees and joints are getting a little creakier. It's essentially a kind of a combination of badminton and tennis. It can be played on a much smaller court than tennis, and you don't run as much and you don't cut back and forth as much. But it's a really good exercise still. But it allows people to stay active who otherwise just wouldn't have the knees anymore to keep playing tennis.
Oh, I hadn't heard of it. I'm stretching my brain this hour. We're going to welcome phone calls for our guest. There's a lot of interest, of course, in a lot of companies that are springing up, and their objectives are to have their clients experience brains getting healthier and great brains getting stronger. Our guest is the co-author of Maximum Brain Power, Challenging the Brain for Health and Wisdom. And the other author of this book is a founder of CogniFit, which is a company devoted to the goal of improving cognitive fitness. He's a professor at California at Berkeley, Stanford, and the London School of Economics, the co-author. So here's our phone number, and I would think that we'll have a lot of questions about this. What are the exercises you can do to make your brain stronger? What's the role of education? We got to get back to those pigeons, because pigeons have been trained to tell the difference between Picasso and Monet. A pigeon. And they can recognize themselves in a mirror, too. I didn't know that about pigeons. So we'll learn about all of that and why it is that Mike and Jim, same age, same elementary school, same high school, but Mike has three times the likelihood of developing Alzheimer's disease, as does Jim. Why? We'll talk about that momentarily on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Rob Ferret and Veronica Rickert speak with one of the students protesting mandatory metal detectors at Riverside High School here in Milwaukee. That's coming up on Central Time. We are in our fall membership drive. Your support, the foundation of our budget, it makes Wisconsin Public Radio your go-to place for great programs. And we'll get back to our guest and to brain power in just one moment. John Munson is with me now to help make the case for you to go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your gift in support of the programs that you count on.
Well, Kathleen, we heard from 31 listeners last hour.
Thank you. That's
tremendous. Thank you so much for those pledges. And our reward for that performance is we get to ask for 25 more pledges this hour. And we're happy to do it. Help us meet this goal by making a contribution right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. The programs you enjoy, like the one you're listening to this afternoon, will be here every day on Wisconsin Public Radio, thanks to your gift.
You wonder what your pledge pays for. Well, we have toll-free numbers, so you can call in with your questions, a vital part of these hours. We rely on newspapers, magazine subscriptions, internet services, so that we can research the topics of the day. All of these things, and so many more, have costs. So your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 helps pay for them.
We know that you give to WPR to support the programs, and and that's great. And as an added incentive, we have something special right now. It's the book that we're talking about this hour on the Ideas Network, Maximum Brain Power, Challenging the Brain for Health and Wisdom by Shlomo Burnetz and Collins Hemingway. It's yours when you give $120 or more. That's just 10 bucks a month. Ask for it now when you make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And what a perfect premium, because we're building your brain. That we're in the business of building brains.
We are.
Aren't we? Every darn day we're building your brain. WPR, your radio station, your intelligence, your involvement, and your high expectations shape everything that you hear on these airwaves.
Thank you for making sure that Wisconsin and beyond has a vital, strong public radio service. WPR is your station because you fund it. Take that step, that responsibility, right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is a critical resource for the state, and the only way that it's going to be maintained in the long term is to have people who support it. I think it's great to be able to hear what is happening in various parts of the world. I think it's critical to have that resource available, whether we use it every day or not. I like being part of the system that is supporting WPR. Being a supporter of WPR is important for everyone so that they can make use of the resource that is available in our state. I'm Doug Nelson from Pewaukee, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with John Munson, asking for your support of WPR during our fall membership drive. Your gift may be $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, the right amount, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
19, that's the number of pledges we're still looking for in the next 35 minutes or so. Your gift right now at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552 supports the programs you count on.
And ask for the book, Maximum Brain Power, Challenging the Brain for Health and Wisdom. Collins Hemingway, co-author of this book, is our guest right now, and you'll be having a stronger brain, and you'll learn more about neurons, and you'll learn more about animals and intuition and how we can make our brains stronger and ward off dementia, Alzheimer's disease. Your pledge of $120 or more, and we'll be happy to send you this book. It's only $10 a month. Pledge now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Join Carrie from Evansville, who says, I enjoy listening to WPR day and night. I'm always learning something new. Well, that's music to our ears. Mm-hmm. Make your pledge now, WPR.org, or 888-202-2552.
Thanks so much, John. We welcome on-air calls for our guest, who's the co-author of Maximum Brain Power, Challenging the Brain for Health and Wisdom. Collins Hemingway is our guest this hour. 800-486-8655 is our number, 800-486-8655. I want to spend a few moments, Collins, talking about intuition, because it's a subject matter of some of the early shows. If you happen to be in war, whether or not you have a sense that there's danger ahead, what role does intuition play, if anything, in brain power?
Intuition seems to be a way that something bubbles up to the surface that we can't necessarily logically or at our level of conscious awareness see that it's happening. But somewhere the brain picks up enough signals, enough clues about whether it's danger or about some underlying pattern that's going on in our lives that all of a sudden we just have this sense, wow, something's happened. And in the case, we talk about a few of these in the book that have to do with some of our soldiers in Afghanistan and Iraq who've turned out to be amazingly able to pick up IEDs, the improvised explosive devices, that are hidden somewhere out in front of them. And sometimes it's obvious, but more often there are very subtle clues that nobody else sees, but this one soldier seems to be able to pick it up over and over again. And it just is an example of the level of complexity of our brains. We think that everything that's happening is happening at the level that we can think and talk about it, but a good deal, we don't know how much, maybe 80%, 90% is actually happening at some level well below our conscious thought, and somehow we can extract that at some point and begin to think about it, and in thinking we're actually talking to ourselves and sort of bringing it out at a level that we are aware of it, but it's happening all the time.
Hmm. And is there any way, you talk about the connection, or it's actually how little we know about what happens to us unconsciously during the course of a day and how much of that may enter our conscious being. Do we need to better examine or try to figure out how to get to those unconscious thoughts? It might, in some ways, make our brain stronger?
You know, I don't know if anyone has actually come up with a way to consciously delve into the unconscious. But I think what we want to try to do is keep the brain as active as we can and get as much sensory information about the world as we can, learn as much as we can from a book or music or whatever the sources of information to us are, in the hopes that the more we pump into this marvelous mechanism of ours, the more that eventually will percolate up to the top.
Mm-hmm. Could we go back to the pigeons for a moment? The early chapter deals with pigeons who have great perceptual skills and have helped soldiers and others. I didn't realize that pigeons were as smart as they were. Is there something we can learn from... were they taught to discriminate paintings between Picasso and Monet, and can we learn something from them about that?
The answer is yes.
Really?
Pigeons can tell first. They've done all kinds of tests, and first they would show them, you know, a particular Picasso versus a particular Monet or whatever, and eventually the pigeons would figure out, you know, okay, that's A is different from B. Then they just started showing them pictures of the two that they had never seen before, but they recognized the style, and then they were able to teach them, the whole impressionist group on one side versus the cubist group or whatever on the other. And that's amazing in itself that they could figure out an experiment where they could actually make that happen. And it has to do with the pigeon pecking on a lever and getting food if he gets the answer right, or not getting food if he doesn't. But what's interesting is that the pigeons, by definition, are working at a level below the verbalization level because they can't talk, and they don't know the rule. In other words, somehow this tiny brain, which is like 1/80th or 1/100th the size of a human brain, can figure out a fairly complex rule involving, in this case, just spatial design. It turns out they have very, very great eyesight, much better than human beings. And that helps them see things that we can't. But more important is that they can then deduce something about that rule without having a brain that can function at nearly the level that ours can. And that just, I think, illustrates how powerful the brain as an organism is, even in a creature that we think of as a, quote, bird brain, unquote.
Hmm. And pigeons can recognize themselves in mirrors? I knew elephants could.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, and chimps could, but I didn't know pigeons could.
Yeah, there's only half a dozen species, and for whatever reason, pigeons or birds are among those that can, and who knows why.
Well, I guess we'll learn at some point, the stronger our brains get. Let's go to some phone calls for you. Tom in Cedarburg, our first caller. Hi, Tom.
Hi. What a thrill to be on your show. I bird call for fun, and I guess it's a hobby, and they call back to me for the most part.
Hmm.
And typically I wait until they call first, and then I'll call back. And I've been doing it for about 3, 4, maybe 5 years at the very start of it. And to me, it's like a connection, a deep connection to nature, because they're really the only creatures that really make much sound. And you can hear from quite a distance, most of them. And I found that they want to be in contact with human beings. If you listen to them and give them a chance to, when you hear them calling out, if you just mimic them, that's all I do as best I can, they recognize that you're making an effort to be in contact with them, and they once they realize that you're listening to them, they let you know they're there. And when I come home, when I get out of the car, they're calling me at work, at different places I go. You know, there's different groups of, you know, different, not all the time and not the same birds, but the whole variety. I've got like five different feeders at home, from hummingbirds, and I've got cranes. There's swamps nearby, and I think it was last fall, about the end of this month of October, early November, when the cranes were leaving, I was in the backyard, and I heard some sounds above me, and I looked up, and way, way up in the air, maybe 500 feet, there was about 10 cranes. They were making this big circle, but they were so far up, you could hardly see them, but they were up there for about maybe 10 minutes. They were calling, so I call back, and they're making this circle right above me, but way up, and then the wind kind of pushed them away slowly, but it was a bright, sunny day, and I thought, you know, and then they were gone for the season. It's like they were saying goodbye, you know.
Aww.
But I find it's something, it's good for the mind, I think, and there's something satisfying at a deep level that I think most people don't even understand. I was wondering if you guys thought about that.
Yeah, I think most of us don't have that kind of connection that you have, Tom. It sounds wonderful. What do you think, Collins?
Well, there's no question that, first of all, most birds are social creatures, and it's part of their wiring. And if they think there's a fellow out there, I'm sure they will pursue it to see who it is. And many, you know, many birds develop various kinds, you know, relationships with human beings, in a, you know, like parrots or cockatiels or whatever it may be. So they're definitely. There is some kind of connection between humans and birds, but I don't know what else to say about it, except that they are very, we have that kind of connection with a lot of different animals, and I'm sure that's part of who we are at a very deep level.
Yeah, and we probably just haven't studied birds as often because they're flying, right? I mean, it must be harder to study birds.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Thank you, Tom, so much for the call. Let's go to another. Tom in Lansing. Hi.
Hi. I read a while ago that General Omar Bradley would do algebra problems to relax. And I was wondering, does problem solving play into brain health? And also the other question would be variety, different subjects. Does that help in along the lines of different types of exercise you mentioned? And if so, I think it would probably be a good idea, if you want to invest in your brain, that you could invest in Wisconsin Public Radio, because they have multiple subjects and very interesting.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. I think you're right that this performs a valuable service. I don't say this because we're in a pledge drive. I really believe this is true. It keeps our brains active. Don't you think, Collins? I mean, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I'm sure radio like this strengthens people's brains if you listen to it day after day.
Oh, sure, sure. I mean, anything that engages you and your mind, particularly on interesting subjects or complex subjects, one of the things we talk about is learning how to think to deal with problems that have multiple answers rather than one answer. For example, what's the capital of Wisconsin? That's a single answer. That's a, you know, a fact. But it's the more complex questions, like what do they do at the capital of Wisconsin, and how are they dealing with political problems or economic problems? That kind of discussion engages the brain at a much deeper level, this sort of multi-layered questions. And so, yes, to go back to Tom's question, the problem solving definitely is helpful. But as I said originally, if you do the same kind of problems over and over again, after a while, the brain figures out the pattern. It literally trims down the connections in solving that problem, and it gets to be very easy, but then it's also not working anymore. So you have to constantly lift the level of problem solving up, or, again, variety. Do a different kind of problem. If you've been doing algebra, do something else, or study music, or try to learn to play a guitar, or learn a language, or just about anything that challenges your brain in a different way and makes you uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. And we've asked the question of what it is they've been doing in Congress in Washington for the past couple of weeks, and we just kept asking the question. We never came up with an answer.
Right. You know? Right.
Just never came up with an answer.
Well, actually, I think the difficulties we have politically go back to this notion that we learn fairly rapidly and stop learning somewhat early compared to how long we live now and compared to the complexity of our lives. And you know, different psychologists have talked about that after, at about the age of the early to mid-20s, every profession has its characteristic way of thinking, whether that's a CPA or a lawyer or a doctor or whatever. And after that, they're pretty much locked in. I think the same thing happens in politics. You know, we live in an enormously complex world, both within our nation, with multiple different groups of people and interested parties, and, of course, in a world that's very large and complex and dangerous. And it's very easy to try and look at that and say, well, you know, I learned my political views when I was 19, and
yes.
I'm just going to default to that
yes,
rather than
point.
Really engage in
mm-hmm.
what's new.
Yeah, excellent point. Our guest this hour is Collins Hemingway. He is co-author of Maximum Brain Power, Challenging the Brain for Health and Wisdom. We are in a pledge drive for those who can pledge at $120. We're happy to send you this book, which, along with listening to Wisconsin Public Radio regularly, will strengthen your brain. I'm Kathleen Dunn. John Munson joining me in our studios in Milwaukee for our fall membership drive. You count on this network for talk about all of these issues every day, and we count on you to keep these discussions on the air. So please make a gift of any amount right now. Help pay for the programs you depend on. WPR.org 888 202-2552.
Well, there's progress to report, Kathleen. We need 12 pledges to make our goal for this hour now. 12 pledges in the next 20 minutes or so. Well, that's doable. Thank you so much to all those who've already given. And if you haven't, please help us stay on track by making your contribution right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You name it, you've heard about it on the Ideas Network. Politics, science, current events, the environment, great books, advice, history, the list goes on. We've had some remarkable shows. Just remarkable. It's a valuable service, and it's a service that is worth supporting. Make your contribution, $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose, to support the Ideas Network programs that you enjoy. It's your chance to make the programs possible. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this hour, you can get the book under discussion, Maximum Brain Power, Challenging the Brain for Health and Wisdom, when you make a contribution of $120. That's just $10 a month. Your donation supports the programs you count on, like this one, and you also get this nice thank you gift. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The world is changing pretty rapidly, and keeping up is harder than ever. But no matter what's going on in your life or in the news, we are here for you. You can count on us for programs that are enlightening and entertaining.
Well, this is a two-way deal here. We need you, and you need us. We're here when you need us, and you step up with the support that makes it all possible. Give now, WPR.org. 888-202-2552.
If you become a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio, it's a very good thing to do. You set up a comfortable monthly giving amount from your bank or credit card, and then your support will go right to work toward the programming that you appreciate.
And because your sustaining donation automatically renews each year, your support will always be current, and you can listen guilt-free and feel just smug as all get out during pledge drives. Can't you just feel your relief already? Well, become a sustainer right now with a gift of $5, $10, $15 a month or whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your call is important to us, so please leave a message after the beep.
You've got something dynamite. I mean, I just want to give the biggest, most sincere thanks to the people that had this as their brainchild and that worked to see it to its fruition. You know, it's one of the tools of democracy that we have. We don't have town hall meetings anymore, but we do have an electronic town hall meeting on the Ideas Network.
We're looking, John, for 10 more pledges in the next, how many minutes?
10
minutes. We ought to be able to do that.
18 minutes, 10 pledges. Yeah, we have this
piece
of cake.
Yeah, let's go. Let's do it.
Make it happen.
Your gift right now helps us reach that goal. WPR.org, 888-202-2552, supporting the programs that you count on.
Remember to ask for the book, Maximum Brain Power, Challenging the Brain for Health and Wisdom. Collins Hemingway is one of the co-authors of that book, and he's Kathleen's guest this hour. Your pledge of $120 or more, just $10 a month, gets you a copy of that book. Be sure to ask for it by name. Pledge now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
When you make your pledge, become a sustainer. Your sustaining membership will automatically renew every year, and you'll pay your pledge in affordable monthly installments. Easy to set up, great way to make a lasting impact on WPR. You choose how to give, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thanks to Liz from Monona, who says, WPR is the first thing I turn on in the morning, before the lights, before the coffee maker. Boy, that's pretty hard for listening.
Before the coffee maker. Woo.
And the last thing I turn off at night. It gives me a little lift every day when I wake up and remember you're there. Well, Liz, you know what? It gives us a lift to wake up every day and know that you're there for us, too. Join Liz and all the other people who've made a pledge today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you, John. And we're making your brain stronger this hour. What a service this station is. The author, co-author of Maximum Brain Power, Challenging the Brain for Health and Wisdom, is our guest, Collins Hemingway. If you can pledge $120, we'd love to send you this premium. It's a fascinating book. Let's go to phone calls. Gary in Duluth. Hi, Gary.
Yeah, I got two things. The first one I'm wondering is whether or not the priorities in No Child Left Behind really support the growth of brain power in kids. And the other idea I'm wondering about is I read somewhere that our emotions can tell our brain to shut down.
Hmm.
For instance, when a person is afraid of change, then that fear will not allow people to look at different points of view or think about things in different ways. And I'll hang up and take my answer off.
Thanks, Gary. And let's take the part of No Child that people have complained about. Some have, and that's a whole lot of testing. Is testing good for strengthening the brain? Collins?
Yes, it is and it isn't. I'm not an expert on the school system itself because it varies so much from state to state. But I do know I have teacher friends who complain that it's not that they have to do testing, but there are so many tests coming so rapidly they don't really have time to teach in between the tests. So it's not so much they're teaching to the test as they just have too many of them, and they don't have time to do really in-depth teaching on a particular topic. Now, and if that's the case, and that's the situation, broadly in the country, then I would say it's detrimental. But certainly, some amount of testing on a regular basis to sort of focus the mind or to get somebody to study intently is a perfectly reasonable thing to have. So it really is a question of the balance and the amount of testing versus the amount of teaching that seems to be the real issue for people who are working with some of those national standards and so on. And then on the other question about emotions, he's absolutely right, Gary, is whenever we get scared or whenever we get angry, everything gets run through the amygdala, and when we have an emotional disturbance, if you will, we deal with it as if it is an emergency, a physical emergency, and the higher executive function of the brains are simply bypassed, and it's an adaptation. If you've got a lion coming at you, you don't want to stop and think about the order of the universe and the lion's role in it. You want to turn and run or pick up something to fight him with, and the brain has no way of distinguishing in modern life between something that is a physical threat to us, like an attack, and a psychological threat, whether that is something happening at work with a boss that we don't like or with coworkers we're not getting along with or what have you, or just the stress of too much work, or whether it's a political situation where we fear whatever may be happening or whatever change may be occurring, we biologically respond. And when we get mad or when we get angry, emotional or scared, we do quit thinking. It is a biological reality, and it does make it hard when people get upset about things. We've all experienced the conversation, quote unquote, with the individual screaming at us that he's being perfectly reasonable.
Right. Right.
So that is a problem when things get so emotional. We literally cannot think.
Yeah. Thanks, Gary, for your call. Mary in Madison. Hi.
Yes, on PBS I saw a program about calorie restriction. It was mostly looking at brain scans of mice and I don't know whether pathway development or what, when they were calorie restricted versus mice that could eat pretty much anything they wanted, the calorie-restricted mice were, their brains were more active. And I was wondering, could you comment on that?
I'm not familiar with that particular study, but much of our brain activity is related to the search for food. In fact, there was a study where one scientist said something to the fact that if you weren't looking for food, you wouldn't need a brain. And so the fact that you have one set of laboratory mice or whatever who are on a restricted diet probably means they're going to be looking for more. And because they are looking and inquisitive and active and searching, then they probably are going to have more active brains as opposed to, you know, mice that have been fed until they can't eat anymore, in which case they're satiated and they have no reason, if you will, to use their brains to look further.
Thank you very much, Mary, for your call. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. And Collins Hemingway, co-author of Maximum Brain Power, Challenging the Brain for Health and Wisdom, is our guest this hour. For you who pledge at $120 or more, we're happy to send you this book, which is fascinating. It looks at how to strengthen your brain and what research shows us about why some people are at a greater risk for dementia and Alzheimer's than others. So the pledge number is 888-202-2552. And this is the last hour you can pledge this drive for my show, because it's the last hour of the week for me this week. So we'll take more phone calls for our guests in a moment. Thanks, Mary, for the call. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Chuck in Beaver Dam, our next caller for you. Collins, hi, Chuck.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
I'm curious to find out if one of WPR's sponsors, the good folks at Luminosity, if their site and the activities that they promote there, if they're really worthwhile in terms of developing memory, focus, and higher cognitive function.
I don't know if you can pass a judgment on that, but maybe you can, Collins.
You know, I haven't used any of their products, nor probably should I endorse any in particular, but the thing to look for if you're looking at a brain training regimen, if you will, is to find something that has been, first of all, things like crosswords and Sudoku and math puzzles that come from a book and therefore are static tend to be effective only to a certain point, again, because the brain is pretty quickly going to figure out the pattern and the difficulty level, and after a while it'll quit learning. The computer is very, very valuable because it can constantly see where you are and constantly increase the difficulty or complexity of the problem. So my own instinct is a computer-based program, online or on your PC or whatever, is probably the best because it constantly can adapt. And then just make sure that the program has you know, review the information behind the program, that it's, you know, got scientifically valid testing behind it, and that it really will continue to test you over time so that you continue to make progress. Just, again, as if you were out for exercise or something, you wouldn't want to do the same program day after day after day, because after a while it wouldn't do you much good.
Right. And it's dull, too. Thank you so much, Collins, for being with us and for writing this book. It's really valuable, and it's a very interesting read as well.
Well, thank you for having me, Kathleen.
Collins Hemingway, and the book we've been talking about is Maximum Brain Power, Challenging the Brain for Health and Wisdom, because we didn't get this on the air from him, I meant to, but let me just say, we were talking about Mike and Jim as they reached their golden years, same elementary school, same high school, lots of the same interests, but Mike had three times the likelihood of developing Alzheimer's disease as his friend, and why? It's because Jim went to college. Education makes a huge difference. Isn't that interesting? The whole thing is so interesting. Everything is so interesting. That's what we do here at Wisconsin Public Radio. We just explore all these interests. We want to thank you very much for listening. And John Munson is with me in our studios here in Milwaukee.
Well, I'm John Munson. You're Kathleen Dunn. Let's make sure we get that straight. Who's who here? You know, and we're here to tell you one more time today that listeners provide the single largest source of funding for WPR. This is our fall membership drive. It's your chance to support programs you count on. So please give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We've had a really good hour, but we'd like to get as many pledges as we can with this very interesting premium, $120. If you can pledge that, maximum brain power will be coming your way. Your pledge right now pays for all the programs that you count on all year long. So thank you if you've given already. If you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Well, what a fascinating hour with Collins Hemingway talking about improving our brains. And who doesn't want to improve their brain?
Right.
Well, don't answer. That was a rhetorical question.
We all do, John.
Of course we do.
Of course
it's
we
a
do.
Silly, it's a silly thing for me to even have said. It wouldn't be the last or the first. Now, take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you and then make your pledge at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552.
Choose the book, Maximum Brain Power, Challenging the Brain for Health and Wisdom, for a pledge of $120 or more, which is just $10 a month. So you'll have a smarter brain, and your pledge will help support the programs. You'll enjoy this book. It's all good. Make your pledge now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Just think of all the great shows you've heard on the Kathleen Dunn program this week. Today, no exception to that, the fascinating topics, the guests that you just don't hear anywhere else, and the access that you have, and the kinds of questions, the intelligent questions that Kathleen comes up with, the things that you go, oh, yeah, I'm glad she asked that. Well, that's what you get here at Wisconsin Public Radio. You don't get a show like this anywhere else. Make the show possible. Pledge now on listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org. 888-202-2552.
Listeners, we must tell you, who rely on Wisconsin Public Radio are the most dependable source of income for this station. Maybe you can make a $1,200 contribution. You can pay it in monthly installments of $100.
That's right. You can help us stay strong and continue to grow with a contribution of $100 a month or more. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. A gift of any amount is welcome and appreciated at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Make your donation in support of the programs you count on. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Just a few minutes left, and the premium is terrific this hour. It's Maximum Brain Power, Challenging the Brain for Health and Wisdom. That's for a $120 pledge, but whether your pledge is $5 a month or $100 a month or anything above, below, or in between, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
Well, here's a listener comment that I just had to share. Trudy and Peter from Madison say, Kathleen's show has been especially meaningful during the past weeks of government crisis, both for the excellent informational shows about the turmoil as well as the shows that were completely not about all that. As usual, Kathleen informs, inspires, and allows us to laugh.
You gotta laugh.
Help keep the laughs coming. 888-202-2552, WPR.org, and make your pledge right now.
And we even have dogs. I mean, come on. We had so much fun yesterday with our doggies here.
How can you not pledge for dogs?
Oh, I know. Go to our Facebook page because there are pictures. Kathleen Dunn Show. Pay for the programs you depend on. We're looking for just as many pledges as we can get, quite
absolutely,
frankly, in the next few minutes.
Let's stockpile a few.
Yeah, right. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Here's an idea. Think about becoming a sustainer. Your sustaining membership automatically renews each year, and you'll pay your pledge in affordable monthly installments. How easy is it to set up? Well, it's really easy, and it's a great way to make a lasting impact on WPR. You choose how to give, and then go and do it. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And that's about it. John will be in for me
next week,
Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Yeah.
I'll be here on Thursday, and I have a great story. Kathleen Ann Dunn is arriving to visit me. That's her name, Kathleen Ann Dunn. That's my name. From Scarborough, England. She's never been to America, and she'll be with me on Thursday's show, too.
Wow.
We'll see if you can tell the difference. We're going to have fun. I can't wait. It's really kind of a fun thing. It's very brave of her.
That's
come
appointment.
All the way over.
That's appointment listening if I ever heard
exactly.
of it.
Exactly. Thanks, John. Have
Thank
a good
you.
Time.
Oh.
Thanks to KP Whaley and Rhonda Fanning who do such a superb job of producing this program. And thanks for all of your pledges, everyone, and for listening.